Welcome to the National Federation of the Blind's 2025 Senior Retreat, a time for empowerment, connection and growth. A special thanks to Janie Degenshain, Zoom administrator, and her team for a seamless retreat. Your dedication makes this event possible. Thank you for joining us on this journey.
Pockets kicking these rocks, it's kind of hard to watch this life go by. I'm buying into skeptics, skeptics mess with the confidence in my eyes. I'm seeing all the angles, stars get tangled, I start to compromise. My life and my purpose, is it all worth it? Am I gonna turn out fine? Oh, it turn out fine.
Our health and wellness kind of theme for this week, I want to talk with you about Danielle McCann, who will be our instructor for this next hour. And she is our National Federation of the Blind membership building coordinator and is on our NFB national staff for that purpose. But she's been a member since 2013. She serves as treasurer of our Diabetes Action Network and has been a diabetic since 2010. When she isn't working, she loves spending time with her great husband, Brian, and their dogs, Schultz and Cammy, and her cat, I noticed, Waverly Jordan. Since idle hands are often associated with devil's playgrounds, she always has yarn in her hands. Love her for that. She's a master level crocheter and has a yarn stash that's more out of control than mine. I'm jealous of that. But that being said, if you're looking for a dance partner or instructor, you're out of luck. I've known Danielle and Brian for a long time, and she and I always try to work in a trip to a local yarn shop if we're in the same place and we have time to do that. I'm not diabetic, but I know many people who are, and I want to be prepared if that becomes a diagnosis. If that becomes a diagnosis for me someday. So it's my pleasure to introduce Danielle McCann to share her wisdom with us about not only our Diabetes Action Network, but other resources that she may know about and answer questions that any of us might have. Danielle, it's yours.
Thank you so much, Sandy, and thank you, everyone, for having me this afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
Yes,
you can.
Okay. Okay.
You're a little quiet, but...
Okay. Okay, I'll speak up. Okay. Well, thanks, everyone, for having me. So, first of all, let's just... I want to talk a little bit about the Diabetes Action Network. So, we are a small but mighty division of the National Federation of the Blind. And our main goal is to bring blind diabetics together to teach each other the tips and tricks that we all use that help us navigate diabetes, because diabetes itself is already a complex chronic illness or disease. But also, if you're a blind person, and as I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, know, the medical community is kind of stumped when it comes to teaching a blind person how to do insulin and how to, you know, count carbs and things like that. They're just kind of like, well, can someone else do it for you? You know, so there's all sorts of reasons that the medical community is at a loss. But as we know, within the Federation, that's where we step in for each other and we build each other up, both, you know, as... in the physical sense of making sure that our sugars are taken care of and helping each other with advice on medication dosages and diets and things like that, but also emotionally, because one thing that I learned early on as a diabetic is that you cannot take diabetes on and off like you can, like a purse or a cute set of earrings. You're always diabetic. And having the mentality of, okay, I'm going to be diabetic Monday through Friday, but then on the weekend, I'm going to eat whatever I want. That can get you pretty sick. It can get you hospitalized and there can be complications. One of the main complications of diabetes is blindness. And so one thing that the Diabetes Action Network, we also just call it DAN for short. So another thing that we do is we advocate a lot with the companies that make medical devices, but also the insulin manufacturers, and also with manufacturers of things like continuous glucose monitors, just to make sure that blind people are not forgotten in the development, the promotion, and the usage of these devices. So that's a very broad overview of what the DAN does. And another thing that we've done, now this year is going to be our second annual Knowledge is Sweet seminar. So that's going to be held May 16th and 17th here in Baltimore at our national headquarters. So I really would love to encourage you, if you'd like to attend. It's going to be 2 days full, May 16th and 17th, if I didn't say that before. But it's going to be full of speakers and workshops and a really great way to network. At last year's seminar, we had about 35 people from 12 different states, and people who attended are still saying, thank you so much for, you know, facilitating the seminar. I was able to meet such and such who taught me how to do XYZ with my insulin pump or whatever it is. And so it's about building those connections and helping each other stay healthy and live with diabetes. So that is the Diabetes Action Network. I want to pause here if anyone has questions before I go on to some diabetes tips and tricks. Is that okay, Sandy, to do questions?
Oh, no, no.
Yeah, sure. You do them however you want to.
Oh, okay, great.
Okay.
I have a question. This is Jim from Connecticut. Does Dan, how often do they meet?
That's a great question. So we do have a seminar at National Convention. It's a 4-hour long seminar. I do believe that we stream it, but it's the, I want to say it's the third day of convention. It's on division day, whichever day that is. I think it's the second or third day of convention. And then we also have the seminar that happens in the spring. And then periodically we'll do membership seminars, like if we want to present a new speaker, or if there's developments with the medical devices, we will have periodic Zoom meetings.
How do you get on your mailing list?
Sure. So we have a listserv. So if you're interested in joining, that's the main way that we put out communications. So it's the website to join the listservs is nfbnet.org. So nfbnet.org. When you go there, you're going to see a link to all of the listservs, and this one is called Diabetes Talk. And so you would just navigate to that and then request to join, and then you'll get an email confirmation that you have joined the listserv.
Shelly?
Hey, Shelly, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good to hear you. I was going to say this for Jim's benefit as well. A lot of states have their own DAN committee, and that's just like starting a division of the NFB in your affiliate. So I think that's a possibility. Is that correct?
Yep, you got it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Any other questions on the DAN? Okay. So we will move on to tips and tricks for diabetes that I personally have found helpful. I have been a type 2 diabetic since 2010. So I became diabetic at the age of 25. I was pretty young for developing type 2. But the way it was explained to me was that it had to do with my family history. All four of my grandparents, most of the people on my dad's side of the family, and about half of the people on my mom's side of the family are diabetic. Unfortunately, they're not compliant diabetic. When I was diagnosed, my doctor said it, for me, in my case, it wasn't so much of a matter of if I was going to become diabetic, but when I was going to become diabetic. And so when I was diagnosed, I remember being angry and just saying, you're not going to tell me how to eat. You're not going to change my mind. And I purposely went right after my doctor's appointment when I got diagnosed to McDonald's and ate like a lot of McDonald's because I was so much in denial and you can't tell me what I can and can't do. And that led to a lot of complications. Diabetes messes with every part of your body from the inside out. And so you get things like nerve damage, vision changes, skin changes. Your gut health is also something that you really have to be mindful of. And also something that I didn't know until a few years after I became diabetic, was that it messes with like how you heal from wounds. So the way I learned that actually was I was going to get a tattoo and the tattoo artist said, you know that this is going to take you like 3 months to heal from. And I said, no, I didn't know that. And he said, yeah, for diabetics, it takes way longer. Like even a paper cut will take twice as long to heal. And especially if your blood sugars are not controlled, that's something to be mindful of. So I share that to say that diabetes is complex. And I also share that to say that if you are pre-diabetic or if you have recently been diagnosed and you're angry or you're frustrated, that's okay. It's okay to have your feelings about it because it's not something that can go away. And you really, to be healthy and to be a compliant diabetic, you have to make lifestyle changes. And that's hard. That's hard for anybody. So I would say if you are going through something like this, give yourself some grace and give yourself some time to get used to it and to feel what you need to feel, but take care of yourself. And you can still have so much fun. It doesn't limit you. It's more limiting when you don't take care of your diabetes and then you get sick or, you stub your toe and then it takes forever to heal, or you start feeling tingling sensations in your legs in the middle of the night because your nerves are all messed up. That's what's going to complicate and limit things. So with diabetes, there is medication. So the goal of keeping healthy and the goal of taking the medications is to make sure that your A1C, so that's the number that doctors look at when it comes to kind of measuring the severity of your diabetes. So for a healthy person, A1C is typically between 5 and 5.5. And for someone with diabetes, it's anything above 5.5. So even if you're at 5.6, 5.7, you are diabetic. The higher your A1C gets, the more out of whack your body gets. And so the goal of the medications is to get you back to the level where you need to be. So within that 5 to 6 range is a sweet spot. Of course, I am not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV. Like, this is not meant to be a replacement for a diagnosis or medical advice. Like, please talk these things out with your doctor because everyone's body is different. So there are oral medications that you can take for diabetes, but there's also injections. And this is where the medical community kind of freaks out because they're like, oh, blind person and needles, you can't do that. Do you have a caretaker? Who's going to do it for you? And so this is where it's really helpful to have a strong network of blind people who know how to do these things. When I became diabetic, I wasn't a member of the Federation. And so I had to learn. There's a device called a Counidose where you attach a vial of insulin to it and you have to kind of turn the dial to dose yourself and then make sure the syringe is just right. So it can be daunting. Now there have been developments in medication administration, such as the insulin pen. And so it clicks every time that you bring up a unit. It is an audible click. Actually, we're going to take a field trip, friends. I'm going to go find my medicine so you can hear the click. So while I'm walking, I'll tell you that there are different manifestations of insulin. So there's short-acting insulin, which acts quickly. Once you dose yourself, it acts really quickly. So that's what you should take generally right before a meal. Then there's the long-acting, which you take maybe in the morning or overnight, or I'm sorry, at night, so that it can kind of slowly disperse into your body. And then they're called the GLP-1. So it's things like Ozempic and Trulicity and Mounjaro. And those are the weekly insulins diabetes medications. Unfortunately, right now with those medicines, what's hard about getting them is that they're being used a lot for weight loss. So like, for example, for me, I had to change from a GLP-1 to a different insulin because I couldn't get my prescription filled. because so many people are now using them for weight loss. So I'm here at my table. So I'm going to do this click and I hope that you can hear it. So I have my insulin pen in my hand. I have the cap on it. So one main tip I can give is don't ever have the cap off of your insulin until you're ready to inject. So here's the click. Okay, so I know that that was 13 units of insulin. So I'm going to, let's say I counted 13 there, but oh no, I was only supposed to do 10. So all you have to do is twist it the other way. So that actually clicked 4 times. So now I know that I'm at 9. So that's just an example of kind of the evolution of medication. And then there are also things like insulin pumps that are continuous. They act like an electronic pancreas. And those are the things that, while are navigable, unfortunately, because the medical devices are not made with accessibility in mind, you do occasionally need help from a sighted person to reset your insulin pump when you're putting a new cartridge of insulin into it. There is one called the Mobi, and I believe that's M-O-B-I, that is fairly accessible, but you still have to get someone who can see to help you calibrate it. So this is one of the big advocacy issues that we're working on, that we just worked on at Washington Seminar, but also that the Diabetes Action Network is working on with the manufacturers. Because let's say I live alone and an insulin pump is going to be the best way for me to manage my diabetes. How am I supposed to do that? So the companies have forgotten to include us. And so we're here to remind them. So that's another thing that we work on in the DAN. And so we covered medicine, and the other big factors are nutrition and exercise. And with nutrition and exercise, I'm going to pause for 1 second. So with nutrition and exercise, again, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm certainly not an exercise expert. So you have to figure out what works for you and your body, but carbohydrates are going to be your main culprit with diabetes. And everything has carbs in it. Everything has sugars in it, even tomatoes, even broccoli, even carrots and corn and legumes. They all have sugars in them. They all have carbohydrates in them. And so managing the amount of carbs and the amount of sugar that you take in is going to be the key to successful eating with diabetes. Or not eating with diabetes, but eating with having diabetes. Don't invite diabetes to lunch. Okay, so that's the very, very, very basics of the nutrition is low sugars, low carbs. Does that mean that you can't enjoy things like ice cream or French fries or popcorn? No, that's not what that means. What it means is all in moderation. Everything needs to be done with the understanding that it's going to affect your body. And so it's okay to enjoy these things. Just be mindful of it. And then the other thing is exercise. So exercise doesn't have to mean that you go and you get a subscription to the gym and you go 4 days a week, 6 hours a day. Exercise could be doing a lap around your house doing laps around your house for 15 minutes continuously. It could mean doing chair exercises. It could mean I had a rotator cuff repair in 2022. And part of that was because I didn't manage my diabetes well early on. And so my symptoms kind of caught up to me. And so my rotator cuff tore. And the exercises that I would do was doing things like, with my good hand, I would just grab like a can of soup or a can of beans from the cupboard and just do arm lifts. Or even if you just want to stand up and dance to your favorite song, it doesn't have to be complicated. It's just, you just have to get up and move your body, and you will notice that your blood sugars do benefit from that, even though the commercialization of fitness makes it seem like it's this huge commitment. You have to have the right outfit and the right equipment and the right shoes. And don't forget the headband and the pedometer and the whatever. That's I think that that overcomplicates things. As long as you get your body moving and you're not doing something to hurt yourself, that's all you really have to do. And for me, one thing that's helpful is also having an accountability partner. And so I have a friend at work who I send her a text and say, okay, I'm getting on the treadmill. And she also sends me a text and says, okay, I did the treadmill for 15 minutes today. And that's also really motivating. Another thing you could do with fitness is if you are someone who kind of thrives on rewards, I thrive on rewards. And so if I have exercised for 2 weeks straight, then I give myself permission to buy maybe some knitting needles or a new skein of yarn or something that I love. And it's not anything big, it's not anything flashy, but it's something that keeps my mind motivated. And especially when it's a set of things. So if I want, let's say, three different sets of pink yarn or three different skeins of pink yarn, I only let myself get one, and then the other two are my motivation for the next couple of weeks. And that's kind of what gets me through. And also, I am certainly not perfect at this. I could exercise way more. I could eat a lot better. And my numbers show that. And my doctor is really good at reminding me about that. So all that to say, we're all human. Give yourself grace. Get a buddy if that's what's helpful. Put together a wish list for yourself if that's what helps you get motivated. Whatever helps you get motivated, even if it's something small, like, okay, if I work out for 15 minutes a day for the next week, I'm going to treat myself to, you know, popcorn. Okay, it can be something, whatever makes you excited to work out is what's going to work best for you. One more thing that I'll go over quickly is the continuous glucose monitor. So CGM is what they're called. And the two main players out there are going to be the Dexcom and the Freestyle Libre. So I believe Freestyle is made by Abbott, which is a manufacturer. And I think Dexcom is, and if someone knows the answer to this, correct me because I'm drawing a blank, but I believe Dexcom is Eli Lilly. But it's essentially a little piece of equipment. It looks like it's no bigger than a flash drive. It's actually quite a lot smaller than a flash drive. It kind of is about the shape of one of the NFB cane tips, and you insert it into your body. There's like a button that you hold. There's a mechanism that you hold onto your skin, and you push the button on the mechanism, and it releases the sensor into your arm or your stomach, depending on where the insertion instructions tell you to put it. And then it gives you readings, live readings of what your blood glucose is. And so the numbers, so we talked about A1C earlier. So that's the overall number. But then on your day-to-day, you're looking at your blood sugars. And so for the average person, a normal blood sugar is going to be anywhere between 80 at rest and then up to 120 right after a meal. For a diabetic, typically our blood sugars are like the low end for us is in the 90s. Sometimes you're right at 100, but then it can skyrocket pretty quickly. So I mentioned earlier that my family is non-compliant diabetics. And so like one of my aunts, if you ask her, what was your sugar today? She'll say 479. It wasn't too bad. That's really bad. You generally want to keep it within the 100 to 200 range if you have diabetes. And so the CGM, you can have them set alerts. So when mine gets up high, I have an alert to say, hey, your sugar is really high. You can also have an alert for when your sugar gets really low to say, hey, your sugar is really low. And when your sugar gets too low, you need to eat something. And so that's a quick overview on the CGM. So I'm going to pause for questions because that was a lot of information.
Sandy with a question.
Yeah.
A lot of seniors do not have access, either good computer skills or access to a computer. If you needed to learn about counting carbs, what's a good resource for that? And maybe what's a good one if you have good computer skills?
So for counting carbs, that's a great question. So the best thing to do is to get your baseline from your doctor. So if your doctor says you can have to stay healthy or to keep in range, you can have 40 carbs per meal. Then what you can do is you can, if you don't have good computer skills, you can ask your doctor for information on, okay, well, what are some examples of foods that have low carb? You can also ask them to set you up with a nutritionist. If you are a little bit more adventurous with the computer, you can also just Google like what's the amount of carbs in a corn dog or whatever it is, and it should spit a result back to you. And then if you're a tech user that's comfortable with the iPhone, there are apps. There's one I believe called Glucose Buddy. There's also the MyFitnessPal app that will tell you the different amounts of carbs in different foods.
We have a raised hand. I believe the name is Musi. Apologies if that's not how you pronounce it.
No, that's right. This is interesting. Thank you. But I'm so glad to hear you say 15 minutes, because I thought it was always 20 minutes that you had to exercise per day.
Sure. And that also depends on what your doctor says. I really can't stress enough how important it is to have a good and honest relationship with your doctor. Mm-hmm. So if your doctor says you should really shoot for 20 minutes, I would listen to your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll pause there just to say that an honest relationship with your doctor is also really helpful, because I played the game initially when I was diagnosed, and my doctor would say, well, your A1C is not getting any better. And are you really doing the right things? Yeah, I promise I'm doing the right things. And one, they took my blood work and they could tell really quickly that I was not doing the right things. So that's why I say have a good and honest relationship with your doctor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is Liz. I have a question.
Hi, Liz.
Hey, with your continuous glucose monitor, does it have like a companion app for your phone? And is that accessible, or how do you interact with it?
Yes, that's a great question. So yes, it has a companion app, and both apps for Dexcom and Freestyle are accessible. They also will provide you, if you do qualify to receive a CGM, because there are, unfortunately, if you want insurance to cover it, you do have to qualify. And different insurances have different qualifications, but they'll also give you a device that's the companies call it a receiver. And so you could also pair that with your CGM, but those are not accessible.
Interesting. Jen has their hand raised.
Yes. I got a question. First one was, low sugar and low carbs, they help everybody, do they not?
I think that overall it is perceived to be healthier, but it kind of depends, because then you have people who also have what's called hypoglycemia, and that's something where their blood sugars can't stay high enough, and so for them a higher carb diet is healthier. So it just kind of depends on what your medical makeup is.
Okay. I worked with a woman at one time, and she would have to drink orange juice to get her blood sugar to a proper level. What was that all about?
Yeah, so it sounds like maybe her blood sugar, she couldn't keep them up high enough.
Okay. Thank you.
Jane, with a comment?
Sure.
Regarding, amounts of carbs and things, for those of you that have the A lady, I'm not going to say the name, she'll tell you too, and then you don't even need to worry about high tech. You can just do like nice low tech and ask A lady, what are the carbs in X, and what she'll tell you. Thanks.
That's a great suggestion. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Shelly?
Yeah, Shelly.
Hi, Danielle. It's really nice to meet you. And I wanted to say I really enjoyed your talk, because you're coming from a perspective of very just living ordinary life. And I really like that. You're giving very wonderful information, but it's common sense at the same time. And I'm pre-diabetic. So it's kind of been a learning curve for 7, 8-ish kind of years, something like that, 6, 7 years. And I've had to learn a lot too, because I'm a muncher and a eat out of bad habits kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
Sweets. And So it's been, and a lot of times I've had to learn that just because it says sugar free doesn't mean it's always the best, or, you know, things like that. And I'm gluten free, so that adds a little different dimension to things, because I swear that if something's gluten free, they've added sugar to it. So I don't know. It's been a learning curve, but I do really appreciate hearing your talk today.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that, Shelley. And I come from a place of still learning myself and still struggling with it, because like I said before, like I was in the mentality of, you can't tell me what to do with my body, and okay, I'll be good, I'll behave Monday through Friday, but then on weekends I will binge, you know? So
right.
It's just, we just have to take every day, you know, one day at a time, and you know, just find what works for us. And I'm also a snacker. We have a joke in our house. So if I'm doing something, or if I'm working late or something, Brian will say, can I do something to help? And I tell him, just tell me I'm pretty and feed me tacos, because I'm a muncher, you know? And, so you just, you know, you have to find what works for you, and it's all a balance, and we're not all going to get it right 100% of the time. And that is okay.
Right. Now I had, did a trial, last year with the Stelo, which was through Dexcom, and it's for pre-diabetics, and it syncs up with your phone, your iPhone, and that. Now, it was very interesting to me. First of all, I had no idea how to go about you inserting one of those, but that I figured that out. But it kind of freaked me out to know my sugar all the time, and I don't know if that's something common that people deal with, that knowing what your sugar is doing actually is a little more stressful, if you speak to that.
Sure. So I think it can be stressful. I think that it's you have to, I guess, think about it as knowing it is kind of a cautionary thing. It's not, so the Dexcom is not judging you. The Stelo is not judging you. It's not pointing its finger at you and saying, bad lady, you had French fries. It is a medical device that doesn't have any feelings. And so it's not, I think that a lot of us, when we see that, you know, oh, I was bad today. We like to use that language. I was bad today. I had pizza. Well, I was naughty. I had an extra brownie. And I think if we take away those words of good or bad, or, you know, I behaved today, or, you know, things like that, I think if we take the emotion out of that, we may feel a little bit less like, ooh, my sugar's high and the Dexcom can see it and the Dexcom is frowning at me. No, the Dexcom is just a piece of information. And the more information we have, the better decisions we can make. But I would stay away from saying things like, oh, I was bad, or, oh, you know, I did good today, things like that. And so that's why when I talk to my family, I phrase it in, hey, you're non-compliant, because then it's just, and when I say compliant, I'm sorry, I didn't say this before, but that just means that you're following kind of the directives that you've been given. And so I don't say to my aunts, oh, you were bad. I just say, hey, like, that's not compliant, because then it's taking judgment out of it. So I hope that's helpful, Shelley.
Sure, that is. Appreciate that. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
This is Sandy. And aren't there some medications that can increase your blood sugars no matter how compliant you are? Like if for some reason you have to be on oral steroids, that could send your glucose's way up.
Yes. And it's steroids. It is some antibiotics. I don't know like what the specific ones are, but yeah, medication can even if you're taking cough syrup, because cough syrup has some sugars in it. So that's where, my doctor can tell, for example, last New Year's, over 2024 New Year's, Brian and I had COVID, and my doctor is like, oh, you had COVID for 16 days. I can tell because your numbers were significantly higher. And so it's just good to know those things, because that can also be scary when you're giving yourself your medicine, you're eating right, you're doing as much exercise as you can and your numbers aren't going down. But there are also things like if your numbers are consistently staying high and you're not sick and you're not taking a new medication, it could be a sign of a bigger problem. So always be in good contact with your doctor.
EJ has their hand raised.
Yep, this is Joe from Arizona. Would you talk about the talking glucose monitors?
Yes, I will. Go ahead.
There's another great resource for information about diabetes that is available to all of us who are working through the Talking Book Library. There are many, many books that are continuously being updated on the Talking Book service, along with, I haven't looked at it lately, but there used to be several newsletter magazine services related to diabetes.
Oh, that's great advice. Thank you so much. So if you're using Bard or the NLS, there's resources, you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah. There's recorded books, Braille books, recorded magazines.
Okay. So there we go, y'all. We have another resource. Thank you, Joe.
Well, sure.
So that, and also you bring up a great thought with the talking glucose monitor, or sometimes they're called glucometer. It just kind of depends, but we do sell them in the independence market, but you can also find them on Amazon for a fairly inexpensive out of pocket cost. And what it is it's not a Dexcom, so it's not a continuous glucose monitor, but if you do need to check your blood sugars and you're not at the point where you are using a Dexcom or a Freestyle Libre, or if for some reason, like for me, if my Dexcom is reading, okay, your sugar's at 100, your sugar's at 100, but I feel that I'm really, really thirsty. So for me, knowing that I'm really, really thirsty means my sugars are higher. So I spot check with a talking glucometer. So with this one, it's the one that I'm sure everyone's heard about where you have to prick your finger. It doesn't hurt as much as folks say it does. I think it's the anticipation of poking yourself that's where you tense up and you're, oh no, it's coming, you know? So you would essentially, there's what's called a lancing device, and you would put a lancet, which has a sharp point on the end of it. You put that inside the device and then you trigger it. You hit the trigger so that it can poke. Usually you check your blood sugar on your fingertips. And then you get a drop of blood, and then you use a strip that goes into the machine. So the strip is loaded into the machine. You put the blood on the strip, and then the machine will read out your blood sugar. And so overall, over time, you can get calluses on your fingers if you just continuously poke them. If you're checking your sugar four times a day, that's going to result in calluses. And you have to also make sure that you get the blood right where it needs to be. One thing that has helped me when I needed a pre-authorization letter from my doctor for the CGM was my doctor really pushed hard for me to get mine because I'm a Braille reader. And so that's something that might be helpful for folks if you did want to try it, just to explain, listen, I use my hands for my job and for reading and writing, and I can't get calluses on my fingers because that will affect greatly my productivity. And your doctor would be able to do the pre-authorization with your insurance if your insurance is being fussy about it. Any other questions? Okay. So, Sandy, do you have, is that you?
That was me. What were the apps again that you mentioned? The two?
Oh, there's Glucose Buddy.
Okay.
And there's MyFitnessPal. I will give y'all a heads up that if you sign up for MyFitnessPal, they will email you approximately 4,000 times a day. Like, they send a lot of emails.
Jen's hand is raised.
Yeah, Jen?
Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, this is Judith. I was just going to suggest if people wanted information on nutrition, most of the health food stores in most states have a nutritionist that will work with you for free, or maybe for a minimal amount. Yeah, so that's what I would suggest is buying food organic and going to a health food store for your food.
Yeah, that's great advice.
I just want to say you did a wonderful job of explaining the ins and outs of being diabetic and your own personal quest with it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Sure.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I would be able to share with y'all just before we head out. Covered everything that I wanted to cover. Oh, one thing I will mention is that there has been a growing community of folks who have diabetic alert dogs. They're very rare right now, but it is a thing. I don't know whether a guide dog could also be task trained to alert for diabetes, but the work that the diabetic alert dogs is pretty cool. So they don't navigate you, so you would still need to use a cane. But like if your blood sugar is really low, they would bring you juice, or they can smell the enzymes changing in your body, and so they would alert you if your blood sugar is out of whack. And so they're I Cammy, my Cammy is a seeing eye dog. I've worked dogs for about 20 years, and so I naturally it comes up in my mind like that would be cool. But just another resource if anyone is interested in something like that. That is something that's becoming more popular.
This is Judy.
Hey, Judy.
Hello. I just want to call to people's attention because we haven't gotten to it yet, but I think most people know that the Independence Market is the NFB store. And will I Janie, I'm guessing, or Sandy, it must be on somebody's agenda, right?
What was it?
The Independence Market?
It can be.
Yeah,
Or we
well,
can talk
because
about it at the chat. That works too.
Okay. Well, I just mentioned it because Danielle pointed out that we can get it something from the Independence Market, and people might not know what that is yet.
Well, we have time. You can explain it right now.
I'd be happy to. So the Independence Market is a it's a little store here. It's housed in our building at the center in Baltimore. We do have shipping available though, and we don't have online shopping as of right now, but you're certainly welcome to call. And the items that we carry, it's specifically blindness related items. I will give the caveat that it's not technology. There's not a lot of technology, so you can't order a Victor Stream or a Brilliant or things like that. But you can order things like tactile clothing labels, bump dots, canes, cane tips. We have a little bit of apparel. We have talking and braille watches. We have some games. We have a whole bunch of different kinds of slates and styluses. We have a couple of items. We have boots and harness pouches for guide dogs, and I think we have a leash that doesn't have any metal in it for going through TSA. We have some memorabilia like mugs, and we have some books. So there's a little bit of everything in the market. And I can give the phone number if that would be helpful.
Sure.
So the phone number is going to be the same phone number you would use to call the headquarters. So it's 410. 659-9314, and it's option three. So when the voice prompt starts talking, if you just hit three, you'll get sent to the Independence Market.
Great. And we have Patricia Droppers. You have the floor.
Hi, Danielle. What diabetic product does the Independence Market carry?
Sure. So we carry the glucose monitor. So that's the one where you would manually draw blood from your fingertip and check your blood sugar. And I believe we carry a Counidose, which is the system, like if you use insulin vials, it's a system that has an audible kind of guide to help you make sure that your syringe is filled. But I believe those are the two items that we carry.
Do you carry strips with it as well?
For
For
the
the
yes.
okay.
But I will say that I think the strips that we sell, it's only one container in the package. So you might, if you do order them, you may want to get two or three at a time just to make sure you have enough.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Danielle, I was wondering, could you tell the difference between to the group carbohydrates and net carbs?
Oh, you know what? I don't know the answer to that. I want to say net carb has more to do with like a serving size. Like I think net carb is a unit of measurement, and carbohydrate itself is going to be the molecule that carries sugar in foods. I think that that's the difference, but I am not 100% sure on that.
Oh, no. This Sandy sounds like an A-lady question to me.
Yeah, really.
Joe here with an answer.
Good.
Oh yeah, Joe, yeah.
The answer is that carbs are the total carbs, and net carbs are carbohydrates minus things like protein. Especially noted as protein. So if you've got, for instance, you got, say, 10 carbs, and you got a protein in the same item of four, then you wind up with a net carb of six.
There you go. I knew it was a ratio of something. Thank you.
There's more to it, but you'd have to look it up.
That's great. Thank you, Joe.
Sure.
See, instead of asking the A lady, ask Joe. Good
Yeah, there you
job.
go.
Liz,
Liz.
just a possible other resource. I saw very recently the Accessible Pharmacy has a diabetes prevention class that's like a year-long class, and I believe your insurance can pay for it, but Accessible Pharmacy might be a place to reach out if you want some lessons on meal planning and some different diabetic advice that they have.
There you go.
No. This is Sandy. I think on the thumb drive that will have these presentations, there will also be a list of resources, and I think that Accessible Pharmacy, the Independence Market, and other kinds of things besides my computer talking about Outlook will be included in that list. Is that correct, Jane?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I just want to compliment the audience, the attendees. You guys are doing a tremendous job of saying your name and waiting to be recognized or raising your hand and being muted when you're supposed to be muted. So this is Janie saying this is the best retreater group we've ever had because this is only day two and you were great yesterday and you're even better today. Kudos to you. So therefore, woo-hoo, it's door prize time. Judy, are you ready? Uh-oh. It might not be door prize time. She has to do the.
No.
There she is. Judy? Well,
She might be getting, this is Sandy. She
This
might be getting an answer.
this is Judith.
Oh, no. I know Judy Sanders. Sorry. Thank you, honey. Yeah,
Yeah,
thank you.
this is Judith. I'm going to have to go. I have a noon today and tomorrow, but I will be back. Can you just tell me what the agenda is for this afternoon?
This afternoon at 3 o'clock, we have two wonderful people part of my tech group here in New Jersey, Tracy Carcioni and Anne Marie Cook, and they're going to be sharing their stories and how they use low and high tech to make their lives easier. And the 4 o'clock slot, I'm not quite sure. That's Glenn's slot. Sandy, do you know what's on for today for Glenn?
Shelley is going to talk with us about some health-related kinds of things and how she's preparing for those. And I think since lots of us will may at some point end up with knee replacements and stuff like that, maybe it won't be so scary after we learn what Shelley's going to share with us.
Wonderful.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
There's Judy.
It helps if you go to the right spot to unmute. That makes it big. Okay.
Don't forget, you have to say woo-hoo if you win it. Otherwise, you don't get the 10 bucks. Go ahead, Judy.
We could have a new rule that anybody who doesn't say woo-hoo, I get the prize.
No, wait a minute like now. Wait a minute. Okay, go.
I'm going to turn my lady up so that you guys can hear the number. Of course, you don't know your numbers, but anyway.
That's all right. They'll hear the number.
Volume 8. Echo, pick a number from 1 through 35.
Here's a number between 1 and 35. It's 35.
Ooh, 35!
Echo, volume 4. Okay, 35 is Nancy. Are you here, Nancy?
Nancy Yeager, are you in the room?
You were.
Nancy Yeager.
Oh, dear.
She is here.
Oh, she is?
Well, it says she's here, but that she could be away from them.
I am. Here we go.
Nancy, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Can you say woo-hoo, I won?
Woo-hoo.
All right. Good girl.
That was done with feeling. Okay.
I've never said that before.
Most of us haven't.
Congratulations, honey. You'll be getting a check next week.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, this is Sandy, and I'd just like to thank Danielle for coming and being so just delightful and interacting with everybody and just showing that that we all learned something from all that we do, and I'm sure she learned a couple things as well. So,
yeah, thank you all so much for having me.
Okay, well, we have, let me see here. We can add to our break and change over if you want, but if anybody has any questions they want us to deal with now, we do have 8 minutes till our actual break. So this is time we can extend the break time if you want, but does anybody have anything?
Jennifer.
Yes, Jennifer.
I have a question. Will anyone this week be speaking about meal preparation?
Anybody doing meal preparation this week?
Oh, no.
This is Sandy. We talked a lot last year about meal preparation and really hadn't built it into this week. But on Friday, we'll have a chance to talk about that. What specific things are you looking for, Jennifer?
Oh, okay. I am not a Betty Crocker, and especially after hearing Danielle's presentation, I really need to eat more healthy meals. So what I was wondering is, I'm assuming some of the folks on this call that are techie, knit, crochet, do 9 million things, are probably very good cooks. Does anyone have simple recipes that they could share with me? I'm not looking to make Coco Van. I'm not looking to make Bananas Foster. I'm looking for simple. And if I may just further elaborate on that, since we have a few minutes, and this is not to just entertain me, I'm the least techie person on this call. I do have an iPad that I stream my church services on, and somehow I landed on something that I could not replicate. And it showed crock pot cooking, and I thought, oh, this would be great. And then when I finished watching it, I said, this is not going to work for me. And I'll tell you why. They put 2 boneless chicken breasts in the crock pot, put on top of that a 16-ounce package of cream cheese, put on top of that a bag of cheese, a bag of frozen vegetables, a quart of broth. To me, that is not healthy cooking. And then they added more cheese. I'm not anti-cheese. I'm not anti-cheese at all. But the volume of cheese was way over the top, and I love cream cheese and I love chicken breasts, but I would not eat them both combined.
But you know what? There's other recipes you can do with chicken, right? You can do chicken.
Oh, 9 million. So right. Now I have another question since I heard Janie's voice.
Yes.
Would the Bard Library have basic chicken, basic cooking, or should I call them? Would you know if they do, or I can call them?
We have to get you hooked up to an A-lady, and then you can just ask her. Give me a healthy recipe with chicken and a crock pot.
Well, but the answer is that the library does have recipe books.
Lots of cookbooks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Lots.
Thank you.
But NSB Newsline has several magazines. There's one called Cooking Light, and it has really simple, like, recipes, and it has all the nutrition. And then also on NFB Newslines, there's Better Homes and Gardens. There's All Recipes. There's Bon Appetit. So there's a few publications there you might check out, and it's really easy to use NFB Newsline.
Right, and Cooking Light is a great one, because if you're looking to be healthful and healthy, yeah, that'll be the way to go versus 32, you know.
Thank you. You've absolutely answered my questions. This is amazing. Thank you.
All right. I'm coming to your house next week. Cook something for me.
Now, Judy, was I correct in that you made, now I forgot.
You told me Hungarian.
Beef stroganoff last year?
I don't know that I made it. I know I ate it.
Yeah. Jennifer says,
I think...
Maybe I did.
You did, because there was something you were trying to find, and
that's,
I don't remember what it was.
Oh. Kind of a spice or something. Should I put this in or that? So Jennifer said to me, I don't remember which one is Judy. Is she the beef stroganoff lady? I'm like, I don't know. Who's that?
I don't know, and I'm probably the one.
You are.
I think you are the one.
That was too long ago. I can't, you know, but what I would do, though, if I wanted a recipe like that, well, I like the suggestion. You can get the A-lady. Do you have one of those?
No.
Okay. I'm going to get her one. Don't worry, Judy. That's a gift to Jennifer.
Anyway, she'll do recipes for you.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We talked about that. So we'll get that going, Jen.
But I think Liz has the right idea with all the magazines that we have on.
Thank you. You've answered my questions. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, keep thinking about questions, because on Friday afternoon at the 1 o'clock hour, that's going to be your chance to see if you can stump our resource
analyst
experts, about panelists who know all kinds of stuff. We'll see what we
Good.
Can do.
Judy, I just remembered it was Worcestershire sauce that you needed.
Yes, I think I was doing a meatloaf, though.
Oh, I could be wrong about what you were making, but the ingredient was Worcestershire sauce that didn't come.
Thank you for spending your time with us today. We appreciate your participation. For more information, contact President Glenn Crosby at nfbseniors@gmail.com or call 443-681-9345. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.